And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road up in Indianapolis fulfilling some duties for the NFL Combine. He'll join us here in about 15 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation with Joe. Adam, welcome in. Good morning. How are you?
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, there's nothing going on from this weekend. Michelle, what's going on? How are you doing? Congratulations to your cats.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, when news breaks on a Sunday, we got a full day, full week, full three weeks of information. What a day.
My goodness. There, you know, full disclosure, there are some days in this business that are harder than others to like try to figure out what you're going to talk about. Today's not one of those days. Busy weekend for the Nashville Predators and really kind of a franchise-altering weekend for the Nashville Predators. And we've talked about the trade deadline coming up and what the Predators were going to do, the direction that they were going to take for a long time. And I think now that this weekend has taken place, we know the beginnings of that direction. So let's recap what all happened for the Predators this weekend. It started on Saturday, Adam, as Nino Niederreiter was traded to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for a 2024 second-round pick. So Niederreiter out, a 2024 second-round pick in. And then yesterday, the big news, Elliot Friedman reporting that David Poile will be retiring effective June the 30th, who has been the general manager for 26 years here with the Predators, and that Barry Trotz would be taking over as the next general manager of the Predators starting on July 1st. So Trotz has been with the organization in kind of an advisory role, and he will be working hand-in-hand with David Poile over the next few months as they prepare for the NHL draft coming up here in Nashville, and then Barry Trotz will take over as the general manager, the second general manager in Predators history coming up on July the 1st. So massive news there. And then, oh, by the way, last night they traded Tanner Jeannot for about 1,000 draft picks to the Tampa Bay Lightning. What did you make of what was a wild weekend for the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, where do we start? I guess we'll start in order. So we'll start with Nino Niederreiter, as you mentioned, being traded to the Jets for a 2024 second-round pick. And the discourse on social media was spicy.
It was.
Following that trade. There was definitely a line in the sand drawn between the Predators fans who were pleased with the return and those, the majority of whom I believe, based on my quick scrolling, who were displeased with the return. It was interesting just because Predators fans and you and I and a lot of people on this station have been clamoring for the Predators to sell. They finally do it, and the reaction is they didn't get enough for Nino Niederreiter.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have it both ways necessarily. So, look, I thought it was a tidy piece of business. Nino Niederreiter was a late summer free agent signing. It was a 2-year contract, $4 million cap hit. He wasn't going to be a part of this team's future. You trade him, you get rid of his entire $4 million cap hit, which is not insignificant. And now you have more money to spend on signing restricted free agents or you know, giving younger players an opportunity higher in the lineup. So I know the return was a bit underwhelming generally. But I think the process was sound.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go to Jeannot here for a second. When I saw the return last night, I had to make sure I wasn't being duped. Like it wasn't a fake Predators account or a fake Elliot Friedman account, because I was floored by that return. Look, the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know what they're doing. As you can see with their recent run of success, winning 2 Stanley Cups and being in 3 consecutive Stanley Cup finals. And this is something they've been doing for the past several years. They go out and they find these depth forwards that ultimately play a huge role in their success. They did it with Blake Coleman. They did it with Barclay Goudreau. They did it with Brandon Hagel.
Nick Paul.
And a lot of people thought the Lightning overpaid for those players, but it worked out. Now, the Lightning are in a position where they're continuing to go for it. It's an arms race in the Eastern Conference. We saw another gigantic trade with about 800 pieces moving last night when Timo Meier was traded from the Sharks to the Devils. So Boston's loaded up with Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway. Toronto traded for Ryan O'Reilly. New Jersey has Timo Meier. The New York Rangers have Vladimir Tarasenko. And, oh, by the way, look to be getting Patrick Kane in the next couple of days. So it makes sense for the Lightning to spend as much draft capital as they can to beef up their lineup. That third line has always been a key to their success in the playoffs. So that's where I figure Tanner Jeannot will go. So it was shocking. The Predators turned 152 games of NHL experience from an undrafted forward into five draft picks. And Cal Foote, who's a defensive – you know, he's played more than 100 games in the NHL, so I don't know if I can call him a prospect. He hasn't lived up to his billing, but, you know, perhaps he can get a fresh start here. So they turned Tanner Jeannot, 152 games of Tanner Jeannot, in a bad season for him, into six assets.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with that return.
He's unbelievable. For those who missed it, they got Cal Foote back from the Lightning, who's a big right-handed shot defenseman.
Son of Adam Foote. One of Adam Foote's sons.
Yes, one of Adam Foote's sons, a former first-round pick. They got a 2025 first-round pick from the Lightning, which is top 10 lottery protected. 2024 second-round pick, which means they now have three second-round picks in 2024. And also for this year, a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a fifth-round pick. So five draft picks, and as you said, Cal Foote in the trade for
Tanner. I don't think the Lightning have a draft pick in the draft here in Nashville until like the sixth round. So they can hang out on Broadway if they want and just stroll in right before they're, you know, someone sit there and be like, guys, we're about to pick.
Yeah. Yo, guys, we've been here all weekend. Now we're just now picking.
Run from Jason Aldean's bar and make the pick as quickly as possible.
And then, obviously, the bulk of what we're gonna talk about today is the Poile and Trotz stuff. So David Poile, obviously, has been the only general manager that this team has ever known. And if we've talked once about it so far this year, we've talked 1,000 times about it. What does the future of David Poile and John Hines and this franchise look like in terms of who's in charge and who's making the decisions as they move forward? And now we know that David Poile will be stepping into retirement. Now, he'll still be involved, apparently, with the organization in kind of a consulting role, and he's still going to be around, but Barry Trotz will be stepping in as the next general manager. And when I saw that happen yesterday, I'd kind of heard some rumblings about it, and then Elliot Friedman put it out. I was floored that they chose to make that decision, and that's the route that they were going to go. Now, I'm very intrigued by it, and I think it could end up being a really good thing for this team. So I'm interested to see how it goes. But I got to say, I did not expect that one and did not anticipate that one coming yesterday. But a massive move by the Predators, David Poile into retirement, and Barry Trotz as their next general manager.
When it comes to Barry Trotz, of course, has zero managerial experience. But if anyone can make that leap from the bench to the front office, I think it's Barry. Just because of everything he has seen and done in hockey, not just for the Predators, not just in the NHL, but before that as well. The guy has been around for a very long time. I think he will take to it quite well. Of course, this is, you know, we won't know until, you know, after this season. But, you know, the idea that he doesn't have managerial experience for some reason doesn't like worry me as much as it might normally. But, you know, the one thing that stuck out to me reading the news of David Poile soon entering retirement, the timing is interesting to me. You know, the skeptic in me wonders, why now? Why announce this on a Sunday in late February, less than a week before the trade deadline, when you're selling for the first time since 2014, when you're probably not going to make the playoffs for the first time since 2014, It feels like almost a distraction of sorts. And what I mean by that is the Predators are selling. We assume that they're not going to make the playoffs. The games don't feel as important down the stretch to us as they might be to them. And it feels as almost like an opportunity for the Predators to change the narrative, to say, you know, look, David's leaving. He's been a source of your frustration for years, but now he's leaving. We're bringing back a franchise icon who you all love, and now we can take the heat off of David by having him announce his retirement now. That, you know, like I said, that is the skeptic in me. But that was my first thought when I saw all of this happen is, why now? I think it's to, as I said, take the heat off of David Poile, because Joe is going to join us, and we were talking last night. If this team sells and doesn't make the playoffs, what are we talking about for the next month and a half? David Poile, David Poile, David Poile, yep. David Poile. Now we're not talking about that because we know he's leaving. So I think it was, you know, I'm glad that David is stepping into retirement, as he has said in interviews with the Tennessean, it was time. But I think the timing is not a coincidence that they're announcing it now, considering where the team is currently.
Well, and as we know, this has been Joe and I have talked about this a lot. I know you've been on with us and have talked about it too. The Predators fan base that we hear from on a daily basis has been clamoring for some change. I mean, that's been what it's been, and that's whether it be at the head coaching position or whether that be at the general manager spot. A lot of people wanted it to be at both. I mean, we've heard from a lot of Predators fans over the course of the past calendar year that have been ready for a move to be made, and now a move is being made, and it's a big one. You've got Barry Trotz stepping into a role that he's not been in before, but this is quite the weekend of change for the Nashville Predators, and it also has me wondering, we're going to get a lot deeper into the Trotz and Poile stuff today, but it does have me wondering with, you know, Friday being the trade deadline, how many more players could we see on the move? We've already seen Niederreiter go. We've already seen Janot go. And if the Predators are open for business, which it looks like they are, how many more moves could be made this week? That's, in the short term, what I'm kind of looking forward to finding out this week.
Yeah, it figures to be, you know, if you thought this weekend was newsworthy, I think you're going to continue to see some news over the next few days leading into the trade deadline on Friday. Now, the Predators have won 3 in a row. And they've beaten teams they should be beating: Vancouver, San Jose, and Arizona.
Yep.
This is the clearest sign that this team has come to grips with its situation. Even if they found a way into the playoffs, I think they recognize, and we were worried if they would recognize this.
For sure.
They recognized that this is not their year. And you've seen it around the league. I mean, the Washington Capitals are doing the same thing.
Yep.
And the Capitals and the Predators have each qualified for the postseason every year since 2015, tied for the second longest active postseason streaks in the NHL behind Pittsburgh. So it really feels like a changing of the guard of sorts in the NHL. A lot of teams that have historically been buyers, like Washington and Nashville in the past decade, are selling. And teams like the Devils, who have been sellers for a while, are making a gigantic splash.
Yep.
It's a really interesting landscape around the NHL right now.
There's no question about it. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezevic here with you. Coming up, we'll be joined by Joe Rex Road. He's live in Indianapolis from the NFL Combine. We'll get his thoughts on a wild weekend for the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezevic here with you. Joe Rex Road live up in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, handling some business up there, and Joe joins us now here on the program. My friend, what a wild weekend for the Nashville Predators with a couple of trades. Nino Niederreiter being shipped out, Tanner Janot being shipped out for about 1,000 draft picks, and then, of course, the big news, David Poile retiring effective June 30th, Barry Trotz stepping in as the next general manager of the Nashville Predators. So, Joe, what'd you make of that weekend for the Nashville Predators?
Now, wait a minute. I was told we were going to talk about the big Vanderbilt and Tennessee college basketball wins over the weekend. Am I wrong? Is that not what we're doing?
I figured we'd get there.
Are you Vandy Joe in this regard or GB Joe?
I can easily, you know, I can go back and forth, man. It's pretty sweet. I mean, I was, you know, early in the drive to Indy when this hit yesterday. So, what a what a bombshell. And then, as I heard you guys discussing, I'm sitting there last night. I'm like, so did the Lightning think that Tanner Janot is the next Matthew Tkachuk? I mean, what's happening right now? It's insane. But, you know, look, and I guess I can give a little preview. There may be talk on these airwaves about, you know, later today about, you know, this being a forced resignation and whatnot.
Do we expect that around maybe 2 o'clock p.m., perhaps?
There's just a random – you may be in the neighborhood there. And, look, I don't know how this all went down, but I do know this. David Poile first of all, thought this team was going to be good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the information has changed, and I'm not remotely surprised. I take him at his word that this was his decision, and I'm not remotely surprised that he would come to this decision right now. I mean, if you were David Poile, would you have the appetite for what's coming in the next couple of years? And plus, obviously, you have this opportunity with Trotz. I mean, my question for you guys is, here's a question I have for you guys, and I wish I would have thought of this even last night before writing. We know a lot of great players in this league who become really good GMs. What are the best examples of long-term coaches who then were successful GMs?
That's a good question.
Great question. I mean, I couldn't tell you.
I'm trying to think of it. I'm like, there has to be a good example, right?
Well, Lou Lamoriello has coached a little bit.
But it's not quite the same.
I know. I'm joking. I'm joking.
In the 70s?
Right. Yeah. No, recently. Like, within the past, like, you know, when the Devils fired their coaches a couple times, he stepped behind the bench. Yes. Anyway.
It's a wild situation. And, Joe, we've battered around the idea of, you know, what is Barry Trotz's future going to look like, right? I mean, was he going to step back into coaching? You know, he's done some interviews this year that, you know, he talked about, you know, maybe the idea of coaching an original six team being intriguing to him, or maybe it's a future in the front office. And I always said, like, if it's going to be in the front office, I think here makes a lot of sense. I don't know that I necessarily expected general manager to be the role, but the Trotz part of this is really, really fascinating to me, because, you know, there's a lot about his history and his resume that suggests to me that this could work for the Predators. But also, Joe, as you bring up, he's never done this before, so I have no idea how this is going to go.
Right. I mean, you know, look, obviously, he's a beloved figure in Nashville. He's a great coach. He's the third winningest coach ever. He's a Stanley Cup winning coach. You would think that someone – it makes sense if someone is really good at connecting with players, at putting players together in a team, at putting players in position to succeed, why wouldn't they be good at also evaluating players? But it is a different job, you know? And another question I have is, okay, so, you know, this is right now, he's part of the decision-making crew. He's going to be there for the draft. Poile will be an advisor afterward. How, like, is the front office going to be, I guess, sort of in Barry's image? Are there going to be significant changes, or is it going to be basically the same setup and a lot of the same people? If that's the case, will the Preds continue to sort of be, you know, really strong when it comes to goalies and defensemen and not strong when it comes to forwards?
Yeah, it is a good question, just because, and this was one thing that I thought of as well when this news was announced, you know, although Trotz has not been a member of the organization, you know, officially since 2014, and he did go and do great things in Washington and had success in New York as well, he's still the original coach of this franchise. And I think one criticism of the Predators, specifically in their front office, is that there isn't a lot of turnover. A lot of the people that have been there either from the beginning or for a very long time. And I will be curious to see if Barry, as you said, Joe, chooses to continue to rely on a lot of those people who he knows well because they were here when he was here, most of them, or will he look for some fresh blood? Will he look for someone that he met along the way who could bring a fresh set of eyes to the organization, someone who does not have previous ties to the organization? I think that will be critical. I think it's important.
Agree.
For someone in, I think it's critical for someone hired into a position of significance under Barry Trotz, whether it's an assistant general manager or a new head coach, if that's the case, I think that person needs to have zero previous ties to the Predators organization. I think that is a critical decision for Barry Trotz.
I think that's a great point. Absolutely. You know, another question I have, of course, won't be at this presser today because I'm in Indy. But another question I have is and it's not like Trotz is going to sit there and lay it out for everybody, but what does he think of John Hines? Like, does this signify a coaching change, a pending coaching change, or not? You know, does he have someone in mind that he wants to install as the coach? I mean, obviously, that's a big, big question here moving forward.
Well, and then, Joe, in the short term, for this week, I mean, you've already moved out Niederreiter and you've moved out Janot last night. And I wonder, I mean, it kind of feels like the Predators are open for business right now. Like, how many more players are going to be on the move this week in the short term with Poile and Trotz kind of sitting down and looking at the roster right now? How many more guys could we see get shipped out? I mean, this is going to be a pretty interesting week on the Predators front short term just with the roster.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, one quick thing, as you know, this is also the benefit of, I mean, the East. I mean, the Rangers had a scout who basically just bought a condo in Nashville, right? Like, yeah. just circling Tanner, you know. So obviously, this is one of those situations where you can bump up that. Okay, you want him? Okay, well, I mean, so is there anything else like that? Is there a bidding war to come on a Matthias Ekholm? You know, I feel like he's a guy who, you know, could really help some teams down the stretch. We've talked about the Saros thing. I mean, I think we all kind of agree, you know, that's more likely something down the line. But does someone call and offer the world? I mean, I think you're listening on anyone. I mean, a Fabro would be another potential, you know, move for obviously a smaller return. But yeah, I don't think they're done.
No, I can't imagine they're done. And you know, I like you, and I think like the rest of us saw that return for Tanner Janot come across our timelines and thought I was being punked, to use a to use a term that most people understand. You know, that's very fresh in people's minds in 2023. Yeah. I felt like I was being punked, and kudos to the Predators for getting this. I asked the question on Twitter. It led to some interesting responses. To me, this felt like the best trade the Predators have made since trading for PK Subban, for, you know, the Shea Weber PK Subban trade, not the one to New Jersey.
Yeah,
like, I know that you have to see what those picks become, and whether Cal Foote becomes, you know, an everyday defenseman for the Predators. He certainly has the pedigree to do that, even if his career so far has been underwhelming. But to get six assets, five draft picks, and a player for an undrafted player who was in the ECHL 2 years ago, who played 150 games for your franchise, is an incredible piece of work. And you're right, Joe. I think that the East, as I said with Robbie, is turning into an arms race. Every team is loading up. The Rangers have loaded up. The Devils have loaded up. The Lightning are now loading up. Boston, Toronto. I mean, you could even say the Islanders, who made that first big move for Bo Horvat a few weeks ago. I felt like this was a shot across the bow by Tampa to the rest of the East, saying we're not laying down here, even if we're not considered the favorite out of this conference.
So David Poile, you got to give kudos on that Janot deal in particular, 100%. Right?
Oh, yeah. I think.
Now, unless you want to be like, it's like the night that, like when the Titans would call a good play, it's like, Tim Kelly must have called that one for Chad Day. So Trotz jumped in and they make a good trade.
I did see this yesterday,
I don't think that's what happened.
Like, oh man, that Barry Trotz is off to a heck of a start, man. Like, what a trade.
Like, David was about to accept a fifth round draft pick only for Tanner Janot, and before he hung up the phone, Barry put his hand across the receiver.
David, let me talk to him real quick.
Yeah, let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, a bag full of pucks? Sounds good. Now, hold on, David. Hold on.
It's just amazing stuff. Well, Joe, this has been a wild weekend. Obviously, David Poile, Barry Trotz, Sean Henry addressing the media later. So, interested to see what comes of that. But appreciate you joining us this morning. Have fun in Indy, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Yep. And be back on tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Sounds good. Joe Rexroad with us here on the program. He's live from Indianapolis handling some business with the NFL Combine. So, Joe, be back with us tomorrow. Adam Vingan stepping in the meantime. Let's take your reaction. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll open up our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A wild weekend for the Nashville Predators. A couple of big trades that were made. And David Poyle announcing his impending retirement. Barry Trotz stepping in as the next general manager of the Nashville Predators. We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Well, Mace, some huge news today in Smashville as we did find out that David Poyle will be stepping down as the president of hockey operations and general manager. His retirement will be effective on June 30th. And then on July 1st, Barry Trotz, former Nashville Predators coach, will be the official new general manager. Now, David Poyle will be staying on as an advisor, but Barry Trotz will be taking over that position for Nashville. Mace, this is huge news. I think all of us were a little caught off guard by it. David Poyle has done so many amazing things for this organization, but also Barry Trotz, very loved by all of Smashville.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start by touching on David Poyle, and he's just been the remarkable architect right from day one who has built Smashville to what it is today. I mean, his record speaks for itself. He's the winningest general manager in NHL history. He bleeds gold. He loves this city. He put everything that he possibly had into this organization.
That was Chris Mason, Lindsey Rally on the Bally Sports broadcast yesterday. David Poyle announcing his retirement, that he will be stepping down as general manager effective June 30th. Barry Trotz taking over as the second general manager in franchise history for the Predators. So it is kind of wild, Adam, that he will be the first head coach in franchise history of the Predators and the second general manager in franchise history of the Predators in a basically 30-year span.
To borrow a tweet from our friend Jim Diamond, this sets up for Peter Laviolette to become the third GM in Nashville Predators history down the road. So
yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That would be interesting. Yeah. How would Peter be as a general manager?
I don't know.
A topic for another day.
It is. I got to say, this is a really intriguing move that they've made. And the Poyle part of this is fascinating. Look, David Poyle, and I've said this a few times, some of the conversation on him has gotten a little wild in my opinion, in terms of, like, I think there are some Predators fans, and I get it. This is what happens in professional sports when things start to go bad and go the wrong way. Like, I think there are some Predators fans that just think he's a terrible general manager and has been the whole time. He's not. He's not a terrible general manager. He's done a good job with the Predators. But there's no question about it. The last 3, 4, 5 years, things have started to go the other way. And we've talked about this, Adam. I mean, he's been here since 1998. And runs like this don't happen in professional sports. And look, David Poyle, as C. Mace mentioned in the clip there, he's the winningest general manager in the history of the National Hockey League. He does not have a Stanley Cup to his name. And we know that David Poyle wants a Stanley Cup very badly. That's what he's been chasing the past few years here in Nashville. And they had a window where they had a chance to go get it, and that window fell apart, thanks in some part, some maybe in large part, to some moves that David Poyle made along the way. So I knew that if things continued to go this way and that the roster continued to be problematic and the contracts, everything we've talked about with the Predators this year, that at some point, you know, the Predators were going to be faced with a decision of what to do as they move forward here. I do think some of the conversation with Poyle has gotten out of control, but there's no question, as we've discussed, that he had reached a point with the fan base that a lot of people were ready to move on and to make a change.
No, I used to do these end-of-season Predators fan polls, and at the end of last season, I did one, and one of the questions I asked, which was actually copied and pasted from the previous year, was on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, 5 being the highest, what is your confidence level that David Poile can return the Predators to Stanley Cup contender status?
Yeah.
And I would say a combined 60% of the people who responded voted either 1 or 2, meaning low to no confidence in David Poile. And I think we talked about the timing of this earlier. I think the timing also does help David in the fact that, frankly, I think he was at risk of tarnishing his legacy in town if he held on for much longer. If this team was continuing to downslide and he was trying to make them competitive, it was only going to get worse for him in terms of his of public opinion. So I think he did the right thing there as well. I think that you can absolutely be upset with the moves that he's made for the past few years, many of which have backfired.
Sure.
But you know, generally speaking, his teams were mostly competitive. He built playoff caliber teams on shoestring budgets many times in this franchise's history. And you mentioned the longevity, not just here. David Poile has been a general manager every year since 1982.
Yeah.
Since he was hired by the Washington Capitals, because of course he was the GM the year before the Predators started playing. So he has been a general manager in the NHL for 40 consecutive years.
Yeah.
That long,
wild.
That is unheard of in professional sports. And now you could argue that it shouldn't be the case in professional sports unless you're Jerry Jones, where you're your own boss.
Yes.
But I think David is doing himself a favor with the Predators fan base by stepping out now, because it allows Predators fans to appreciate him at this time instead of insulting him.
Well, and then, you know, the Barry Trotz front, I mean, the reaction, a lot of people are over the moon excited about Barry Trotz, and I get it. I mean, Barry Trotz, you know, Adam, you know this, as somebody who's been around Barry Trotz, it doesn't take very long to be around Barry Trotz to like the guy a whole lot and to realize that he knows what he's doing in the hockey world. Now, this is a different challenge for him, right? I mean, you're coming off, you know, a long run here in Nashville as the head coach, a very successful run as head coach here in Nashville. You leave, you go win a Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals, you turn around a New York Islanders franchise that even with John Tavares had been mostly irrelevant, and then he leaves, and then Barry Trotz comes in, and all of a sudden they're getting to a couple of conference finals. I mean, Barry Trotz's resume speaks for himself. He's a Hall of Fame level coach. He is one of the greatest coaches of all time when you just go purely by the numbers. I mean, it is what it is. Barry Trotz has a resume in coaching that speaks for itself. And I've always wondered, and it takes me back to, you know, a younger Robbie when I had a little bit more hair back in 2014, sitting in a press conference when Barry Trotz was fired by the Predators. I knew then that he was going to continue coaching. He talked about he still had the bug to coaching. But even then, going back to that press conference, and I went back and watched a little bit of it yesterday, like the idea of eventually being back with the Predators was floated out there even then. And that was back in the spring of 2014. And here we are in the spring of, well, not quite the spring, but almost the spring of 2023. And now he's stepping in and filling David Poile's role as general manager. And I do wonder, like, from a philosophical standpoint, you know, obviously he's very familiar with the Predators organization and the way that they do things, and I think that's valuable. But I do think one thing you brought up earlier with Joe is really important, and that is getting outside voices in. And I do think you're talking about a guy that's also been other places. Like, he's been in Washington, he's seen how they operate, he's been with the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello and has seen how they operate. And I do wonder what Barry Trotz has taken away from those two specific experiences that is different and that he can implement here with the Predators.
That is a really good point. And you know, you and I have interesting perspectives on Barry Trotz's departure from Nashville in 2014, because you were here, of course, when he left, and I was in Washington when Barry arrived.
Yep.
And I remember a lot of the talk around Washington when Barry was hired by the Capitals before the 2014-15 season is, you know, is this guy a good coach? Like, I think people knew that he was a good coach, but he was stepping into a situation that was far different than anything, really, that he had ever experienced with the Predators.
1,000%.
He was going to have talent that he never had. He was going to be working with Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom and Evgeny Kuznetsov and John Carlson. He was going to have, you know, talent specifically at forward that he never had before. And there was definitely a learning curve for Barry, specifically when it came to his relationship with Alex Ovechkin. But it became an incredibly fruitful relationship. The guy won the Stanley Cup. So I think, to your point, the fact that Barry – I think Barry had to leave in order to I'm just going to sound so weird – to realize his potential as the you know, as a coach and to get experience – you know, outside of Nashville. Yep. So, yes, he is a familiar face for the Predators, but he just spent the past decade away from the Predators. He's seen a lot. He's done a lot. I think that is going to be valuable in this, but it goes back to what we were talking about with Joe, that I need to see some fresh blood. Like, I need Barry Trotz. I'm, you know, David Poile out of habit. Yeah. I need to see Barry Trotz bring someone in that has zero ties to the Nashville Predators organization. Someone who has been with another team, who has fresh ideas, who can inject some, so as I said, some fresh blood into this organization, whether that's in the front office or on the bench. I think that is of critical importance.
We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. A wild weekend of moves. A couple of trades. Niederreiter out. Janot out. And David Poile announcing his retirement. Barry Trotz stepping in as the next general manager of the Nashville Predators, effective on July 1st. Lots happening this weekend with the Nashville Predators. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you as well coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Absolutely. I mean, David, I mean, David's a guy who tried to trade for me for a long time and then obviously signed me. I'm so grateful to him. You know, he's a very admirable, a guy that's been around for so long and, you know, has done so many great things, tons of wins and games. And I'm forever grateful to him for bringing me to Nashville. Tennessee's my home forever. And, you know, I'm just very, very grateful to him and wish him nothing but the best. And, you know, I don't know what the end of this week's going to look like, but I know I really want to be part of the solution here and moving forward. And that's, you know, the biggest thing on my mind is just trying to do whatever I can to ensure that and help this team.
That was Matt Duchene after the game last night. By the way, the Predators did play last night, Adam. They win 6-2, the final score last night against the Arizona Coyotes. So Predators, as you said earlier, have won 3 games in a row. That was not the news of the weekend. Lots of things going on in the Nashville Predators universe this weekend. A couple of trades. Nino Niederreiter traded to Winnipeg. Tanner Janot traded to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it was announced David Poile will be retiring, stepping down as general manager, and Barry Trotz stepping in as the second general manager in franchise history for the Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Bob from Antioch. Bob, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How likely is it, in your opinion, that they will keep McDonough and Ekholm? Because I was just thinking that right now the top 4 defensemen are intact, and obviously we're very solid at goaltending. And do you think maybe the plan moving forward is to just rebuild around the forwards and keep the defense and the goaltending status quo?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. It's a great question. I would anticipate, Adam, with Kyle Foote coming in, I would anticipate that there's going to be a defenseman moving out.
And I think all reports indicate that it's going to be Dante Fabbro.
Looks, yeah. We've talked about the Fabbro part of this for a while. Like, it's not working. It's not working here. And
that would mean, by the way, that the Predators' first-round picks in 2014, 2016, and 2017 would no longer be on the team.
Correct.
Kevin Fiala, Ellie Tolvanen and Dante Fabro.
Correct.
How does that make you feel?
Well, it's not good. It's part of why they're in the predicament that they're in right now. And, you know, I said it last summer. When they made the Ryan McDonough deal, that signaled to me that one of Fabro or Carrier.
Fabio?
I just combined Fabro and Carrier.
We love it.
One of those guys is going to be out. And as the year has gone on, I think it's become more clear that it's going to be Fabro. Now, the second part of that is interesting because, look, we saw the return they just got for Tanner Janot. Now, I don't know that they're going to get five draft picks of return for anybody else. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they could trade Matias Ekholm and get a pretty good return this week. I don't know specifically what it would look like, but I think they could do it. Now, do they want to do it? I have no idea. I don't know what Poyle and Trotz are thinking about in terms of how much they want to tear this thing down coming up this weekend. I'll say this, though. I would be very surprised if the Tanner Janot move is the last move we see from the Predators this week. I feel like they're going to be pretty active this week.
Well, I mentioned this when I was on with Chase on Friday. Late last week, I was poking around, and it is my understanding that as of late last week, that the Predators had not approached Ryan McDonough about waiving his no-trade clause. But when I asked if he had approached them about waiving his no-trade clause, I got what I referenced as a non-denial denial.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder if Ryan McDonough, unlike Matt Duchene in that clip, sees the writing on the wall and wants to continue to be on a competitive team. Keep in mind, Ryan McDonough, this is his 13th season in the NHL, has never missed the playoffs.
Right.
And if he's on this team past March 3rd, he's missing the playoffs most likely. I imagine that's not what he thought he was getting himself into when he agreed to come here. Because remember, he had to agree to come here. When you look at the trades that have been made, the major trades, you don't see trades with term. That, you know, Tanner Janot is an RFA. Timo Meier is an RFA.
Yep.
Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, Nola Chari, they're UFAs. When Patrick Kane inevitably gets traded, he's a UFA. Orlov is a UFA. You do not see players with term get traded at the deadline very often, which makes me believe that it's less likely to me that someone like Ekholm, unless you get a Tanner Janot-like package, is going to be moved by Friday. Just because it's not the trend at the trade deadline.
For sure. Now, all it takes is one. And you're talking about a veteran left shot defenseman that could play a top four role for you. And teams, they get a little antsy. And especially in the East is interesting because, number one, a lot of teams have already made some big moves. And number two, if you're a team like the Rangers or even Boston, like Boston's mowing through everybody this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking around and you're like, all right, well, Meier just went to the Devils. Kane looks like he's about to go to the Rangers. The Lightning
already have Tarasenko.
Like, I do wonder, like, how much the arms race in the Eastern Conference may influence some of these people. And then conversely, like on the West, you're looking around and you're saying, all right, was there anybody that you're really that afraid of in the Western Conference?
Like, not particularly. Look what happened with Edmonton yesterday.
Exactly.
Edmonton was losing 4-0 to Columbus. Connor McDavid had another amazing game to erase that deficit, but they still lost, I think, 6-5 to the worst team in hockey. I think the Kings are missing a goaltender. I think if the Kings were to get competent goaltending, they would be a much bigger threat. The Vegas Golden Knights did make a trade yesterday. They acquired Ivan Barbashev from the St. Louis Blues, also a pending UFA. The one team in the Eastern Conference that has yet to make a move, that we're all waiting to make a move, is Carolina.
Yeah.
But I don't think they need a defenseman.
No.
They need forwards. So I don't know if the Predators can help them out. But But as you said, when you look at the top of the Eastern Conference, Boston's made moves, Toronto's made moves, Tampa's made moves, New Jersey, both New York teams, you know, that they're, you know, I don't know what the Predators have necessarily else that would help a team in the East that they haven't already covered.
The McDonough thing is interesting, though, because I think you're 100% right. Like, I don't think he has any appetite for going through a rebuild, right?
No.
And whether it's a rebuild, retool, reset, whatever word you want to use.
He's like, not making the playoffs, most likely.
That's not what Ryan McDonough wants.
Either way.
I can promise you that. So, yes. Is there a way that he gets dealt, whether that's now or maybe over the summer? I don't know.
I do not think Ryan McDonough is long for Nashville. I think he did the Lightning a solid last summer by waiving his no-trade clause. They needed cap space, and as we know, he has a hefty cap hit. And look, the one concern I had about Ryan McDonough when they made that trade was just the wear on those proverbial tires. The guy plays hard hockey.
Yep.
He blocks a ton of shots. As I said, he's never missed the playoffs, so he's played tons of extra hockey. Inevitably, he was going to fall off, and I think you're starting to see that a little bit this year. In his time in Tampa, you know, he had a great team around him. He had Victor Hedman by his side. I know that Roman Josi is also a great defenseman, but the quality of the team around him is significantly, you know, less, you know, significantly less than it was in Tampa, and I think that has in some ways exposed Ryan McDonough. So I just think that, you know, would it shock me if he were traded by Friday? My gut says yes. Would I be shocked if he's traded this summer? No.
No, not at all. Now, there's one part of this that's really, I think, a question that I have that's fascinating moving forward here. With Trotz coming in, with Poile stepping aside, what does this signal about the way the Predators are going and the direction that they're trying to head here? We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.